Let's open today with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, I do thank you, O Lord. I thank you for this opportunity you've given me to bring forth these words, Lord, that you've placed in my heart. I pray, Lord, that the listeners' ears would be unstopped and their hearts would be prepared to hear what is said today. And when all is said and done, Lord, I pray that you will be pleased, and that Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray, will be lifted up. Amen. Oh yes, amen. Well, the title I've given my message today is quite simple, actually. I call it The Chosen Lost. The Chosen Lost. And now that might sound like a little bit of against word, if for lack of a better way of putting it. I mean, if you're chosen, how can you be lost, huh? Well, we're going to work that out as we go along. All right? Sure. The chosen lost? Or is it the lost chosen? I mean, since we are all lost before, we are chosen, aren't we? And we're not chosen unless God, in his foreknowledge, knows who will come to him, right? Oh, yeah, okay, we had some stubborn ones along the way in the Old Testament times, but we're talking about the present. We're talking about after the cross, okay? Now, how many people do you know? How many do you know who firmly believe that no matter what they say or do, that it's entirely up to God to decide whether or not he will allow them into his heavenly kingdom? Are you one of those? And how many are of the mind that as long as we believe by faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then, well, we're heavenly bound? I like that one. Could it be that the scriptures contradict themselves? Oh, hold on there, preacher. The scriptures don't contradict themselves, because that would mean that God contradicts himself. God contradicts himself. And God can't contradict himself. Why? Because God is perfect in every way. In every way. It's just that we may think that sometime because we don't fully understand. We have to get past the opening sentence, perhaps, in most cases. We have to believe in our hearts what took place at Calvary. We have to overcome our blockages, our mind setbacks, our misinterpretations, if you will. I mean, after all, doesn't the Word of God tell us that if we repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we shall be saved? Doesn't the gospel tell us that? Well, of course, yes. The Word of God, as outlined in the King James Authorized 1611 Bible, does make this fact that I just mentioned abundantly clear. And look at John 3:16, the most recognized verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. Now, you can't really knock that, can you? I mean, that's so clear. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you believe that he suffered and died on Calvary's cross for your sins and for the sins of the whole world? Do you believe that? Huh? If you believe that, guess what? Hey, but you got to have a heart belief, not just a mind belief. believe it in your heart that this is really true, and the Holy Spirit of God will come and dwell within you and give you utterance and give you understanding. Oh, yes, He will. Oh, yes, He will. So, what's going on here? Is God a liar? Oh, no. The Word of God says, let God be true and every man a liar. That includes womankind, too, okay? Sorry about that, ladies, but that's the way it is. You know, the great controversy prevails. It prevails throughout the Scriptures. The Bible indicates very clearly the choosing of certain people to come forward for special service. He chooses whom He will to do whatever He will have them do, or us do. One of great prominence was John the Baptist. I think we all heard of John the Baptist, whose birth was foretold in the book of Luke by Elizabeth, the wife of Zacharias. Even though she was barren and well stricken in years. Now apparently she couldn't have children. She was barren. But God had other ideas. And look at Jeremiah, the prophet. Chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. We read very clearly, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, that is, set apart, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Well, there you have it. The book of Jeremiah makes it very clear. Jeremiah was a prophet, right? You see, God chooses people. People choose God. Yes. But we don't know the end from the beginning until we accept what's going on in God's holy book. We only think we do. God chooses people. People choose God. And He chose them, us, before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. Isn't that great? That's a long time ago, isn't it? In Ephesians 1 verse 4, the Scripture tells us, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. Now, if we jump over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, here's what we read. Listen carefully. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Amen. Did you get that? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Do you believe in the truth? You know, the truth. God is God. God is the truth. From the beginning. Now, lock that phrase in your heart. From the beginning. From the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of the world. You see, that's where we all began, isn't it? After God made the world. The beginning. So, right this minute, your heart is pumping like crazy, even to overdrive. And what are you saying to your heart? What are you saying to your heart? Well, if God controls whether or not I will be saved, well, then I ain't got no choice. Hang on now. Just hang on. Yes, God does know Got that? There's the word know. God does know who will come to Him and who will not. If you won't come to Him through His foreknowledge, then He will not choose you. Such is the part of His foreknowledge. See, we all have a tendency to overlook the foreknowledge of God before the existence of the world even. God knows in advance what's going to take place. He knew He would have to send His only begotten Son to Calvary to die for the sins of the world. He knew that. He knows if you're going to get saved or not. Ooh. Because He knew you were, say you were going to get saved, okay, you were going to accept the fact that Jesus paid the price for your salvation, then what did He do next? He predestined you. Because of His foreknowledge, He predestined you. So, right this minute, your heart is it pumping like crazy? Well, mine is a little bit anyway. God does know who will come to Him and who won't. Such is a part of His foreknowledge. So you're right now thinking, well, that means that I'm a goner. I'm a goner. Is that what you're saying? No. That's what you're saying. Yes. You're a goner. Well, you don't have to be a goner. I mean, that's why pastors preach. That's why evangelists teach. That's why the Word of God is an open book. Because you don't have to be a goner. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Tell me, why are you hearing this message? And don't say, well, my wife wanted to hear it, or the children wanted to hear it. Now, why are you listening to this message? And what will you do about it? Will you throw yourself under the proverbial bus and accept your damnation? Or will you rear up like a young colt and go steadfast to the cross of Christ? He knows. He knows. The question is, do you? Do you? Why do you think you're hearing this message? And why do you think you hear other messages from the pulpit? Why? Why do you think this is so? Because God has ordained certain people to bring forth these words that the world may understand. Is it just another sermon to you, filled with a lot of do's and don'ts? Or is it a heads up for you to examine yourselves to see if you are truly in the faith? The Word of God plainly tells us to examine ourselves to that end, to see if we really are in the faith. In the beginning, according to the Scriptures, it is obvious that God reached out to the bottom of the proverbial, God reached out to the bottom of the proverbial barrel, but only to show us that salvation from above is an open door to all who will find it. Oh, right away you're saying, wait a minute now. Yeah, but what if I can't find it? Well, guess what? You will if you seek. Seek and ye shall find. And that's why I'm telling you this today. You might have a little bit of uncertainty or a whole lot of uncertainty in your heart and in your head. Saying, well, I don't know what to look for. It's an open door to all who will find it. What if I can't find it? Well, you're without excuse now because you can find it. All you have to do is very simple. Repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Have you got that? Repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. How do you find this open door into God's holy presence? Listen, through prayer and supplication. You see, God's not willing that any of us should perish. That's not His will, but that all should come to repentance. And you see, a lot of churches today leave out that repentance because it really bothers some of the people. The Bible's clear, repent ye and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without repentance, there is no salvation. God made the first move by sending His only begotten Son to the cross. He didn't do anything wrong. He never sinned a day or a moment in His life. Jesus Christ, our propitiation for sin, He went and stood in our place so that we might have eternal life in the glories of heaven. Have you come to repentance yet? Huh? You want to check it out a little more, dear, from somebody else who knows more than I do? Well, just about everybody knows more than I do, I guess, if you put it that way. But you see, I don't know anything. So I guess that makes it pretty easy. All I know is what I read in the Bible, in His holy word, and what I believe in my heart that God has placed there. I'm a servant. I'm a happy servant. I've been at it a long time. I love my work. And I know that if something happened to me today, tomorrow, or any time before I die, that when I do die, I'll be opening my eyes in His presence. There'll be no lingering in the grave. There'll be no waiting for purgatory or nothing like that. It will be instantly. When I close my eyes in this life, I will open them again in God's presence. Can you say that? Can you say that with all honesty, in faith believing? You know, going to heaven may be your elusive dream. But until it becomes reality, then your chances are slim to none of ever getting there. As the hymn writer so aptly put it, I will cherish the old rugged cross. Tell me, are you hung up by the term chosen and called? Do you believe that many are called but few are chosen? Do you? Well, how about this one? Let me repeat. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all, you got that? All, A, capital L, capital L, all, which includes everybody, should come to repentance. There's that big word, repentance, again. Are you getting used to it? Do you like to hear it? Oh, could mean a change in your life, couldn't it? Because repentance means exactly that. You're going that way, you turn around, you go God's way. That's repentance. You believing that over there, you turn around and you start believing what God says. That's repentance. If you don't believe in God, you don't believe in what happened at Calvary, then you're not repenting and you're not going to heaven, you're going to hell. What's so hard to understand about that? God makes it very clear. Repent ye and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That can't be any clearer. So you, just like I used to be, are without excuse. Now that you've heard this message, you are without excuse. Seek God while He may be found. Well, if you deny God, he might deny you right away and not give you another chance. So watch, be careful of what you say, what you think, what you do. Yes, God chooses whom he will. But whom he will are those who have repented and believed. Now, I know back before the cross, no, God chose people to go forth in his name. That's different. That's his chosen people, Israel. Who's dealing with them? We're talking now about the world as a whole. As a whole. God chooses whom he will. Yes, the scriptures are filled with God's chosen from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He also chose his 12 apostles. And what about Moses and Paul and John the Baptist? You know, the list goes on and on. But the question is, what about you? What about you? And me? And the guy on the street? Shouldn't we choose God first? I mean, now that we have his written word, we have no excuse. Because we can really choose God will only come after we stop choosing self. Have you got that? Before we can really choose God will only come after we stop choosing self. You see, there is somebody greater than you in the world. And me. And everybody else. Jesus Christ. The Savior of the world. You got that? We must give him the preeminence. We must. We must give him the preeminence. We must give him control. And most importantly of all, we must serve him. And how do we do that? Well, by letting our light shine for others to see. We say we have faith, but faith without works is what? It's dead. God's word tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yes, perhaps we do need to wear our faith on our sleeve for all to see. However, without evidence of that faith, without some kind of evidence of who we claim to be, it won't mean a thing. People have to see Jesus in us. The things we say, the things we do. Boast all you want about your spiritual credentials, but unless the lost can see these credentials in action, then they will have no desire to don the full armor of God. They just won't care exactly what you're saying. They won't matter, no. Everything's by faith. One question, one very important question that occupies the unsaved's mind. How can I know for sure I am saved and on my way to heaven? The Bible plainly tells us to examine ourselves, to see if we really are in the faith. It tells us. Have old things, old habits passed away? Have all things become new? The scriptures tell us that we must seek after God while he still may be found. In other words, stop procrastinating. Get off your seat. Get it done. Proverbs 28 verse 5 says, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Getting saved, becoming a child of the King, begins with an instinctive longing. Do you long for something great, something that you cannot understand? When one's mind is clouded with doubts, and there's a deep yearning to know that God really does exist, then that door will open. We must first come to the end of self. To the end of self. a difficult task for the very rich and famous, right? Some of us are, well, we're fearful that we may have to give up more than we want. Oh, yeah, sure. A grand lifestyle, lots of money in the bank, and so on. Well, God's not asking you to give up your lifestyle unless it's not pleasing unto Him. Or to give all your money away. While this is not always so, there comes a time when we must decide upon your will or God's. Your will or God's. Your earthly riches or God's heavenly riches, which far outnumber yours, I can assure you. But keep in mind, no matter how great your worldly riches in God's eyes, they are nothing but wood, hay, and stubble, unless you have faith and believe. They are nothing compared to a mansion in glory that is everlasting, everlasting. I like that word, everlasting. I hate to think that tomorrow everything's over, case closed, no more nothing. Is that the way you are? God's waiting for you. Jesus paid the price. You don't have to pay that price. He did it. Believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. In summation now, only one verse makes it all come to light, really. Only one verse. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the verse that really closes the door, makes it certain, makes it final. Do you hear what I'm saying, people? Do you? I pray you do. I pray that your ears have been unstopped throughout this message, and I pray that you will, if you're not sure about your salvation, that you will talk to somebody, especially talk to God. You don't even have to get on your knees. Talk to Him from your heart. Say, if you will, what must I do to be saved? I heard I had to do this. God will talk to your heart. The way is easy, the way is clear, the way is plain. Don't wait another day. Give your life to Christ now, while there is still time, for tomorrow is promised to no one. Thank you for listening. I pray you'll make that decision now. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen. Amen.